This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
Shall I go a little further? Do a little more? Ain't nobody's business what I do. If one day I have ham and bacon, and the next day ain't nothing shaking, well, it ain't nobody's business what I do.
B.B. King, of course, inducted to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame also, right here on K108. Well, it's that time again. It's a Sunday morning, nice day outside, and it's time for the Carol Cox Show this morning. And let's go ahead, and here's Carol Cox.
Hey, good morning. Thank you, Francis. Good morning, everybody. Another great day, as usual. I guess it's like a broken record, which I'm always happy to sound like a broken record when the weather's nice and we're here in Hawaii, and really nice. But, in the old days, Francis, years back, we used to say all of the violence is on the mainland. Everything's happening on the mainland. We're here, we're safe, we're secluded. But lately, we've seen some acts of violence that goes unexplained, doesn't meet common sense. It goes beyond just the word violence, right?
Right. Speaking of violence, did you catch the news yesterday about those police officers in Oakland?
Yeah.
They got shot.
Yeah, and guys, I know you. A lot of you are big and bad, and some of them look like walking billboards now with the tattoos and the big muscles and the fat necks, and man, they got it going on. But it seems like when they deal with issues, guess what happened? They take it out on the family member.
Right.
Or they're just innocent people. So, it brings home the question. It asks this big question. Are you really man enough? And I'll use that term loosely, not to be sexist. But we've got too much violence going on out there. I mean, stabbing, killing. There might be other explanations for these other acts, such as the people that should have been incarcerated in the mental wards or getting proper care. That begs other questions. But the bigger one is the young lady that was gunned down on the street. That's horrendous. And for some reason, if this young man felt that that was the way of resolving whatever issues, hopefully he has bigger problems. So, you know, Francis, I don't know what the solution is, but I think part of it, we did talk about domestic violence, but young ladies, if you're out there and the guy is beating up on you and threatening to kill you like he has reportedly done with this young lady, we need to, you need to go and take care of something or get out of that situation when the guy is talking about killing you. But anyway, in regards to the hospital, and this is what we try to bring home here in the at the show, we try to emphasize that our government is broken, and that is, it's not efficient. We give them money, they manage our affairs, and we have these drastic examples of the way our system is failing. Now, I talk primarily about the environmental issues and the shortcomings that we experience in the environmental, and those are things that we won't get to see in the immediate future. The impacts or bad decisions in the environment can be long-term and unnoticeable for a while until a complete ecosystem falls. But in the sense of the Department of Health and Department of Education and those agencies who are tasked with monitoring and treating individuals that have mental disorders with violent tendencies, that is something that we need to really address, and we're giving our legislators and we're giving our leaders here too much room to play. We don't hold them accountable. I don't see any outrage. We've had two of these, a young man that did the stabbing up there at Cocoa Head, the young man that stabbed in Ever Beach, and don't see anybody, no heads rolling in the state, nothing. It's just a lot of talk, and we wait for the next occurrence of this this violence. So I don't know, but it seems it's troubling in that our legislators are really, they're aggressive in pursuing the red lights, the cameras at the red lights, and cell phone, no talking on the cell phone, and all of that. Now, I'm not saying we don't need something to manage our safety, but it seems to be there's this great frenzy and feeding when it comes to a commercial endeavor where someone approaches the legislators with this fancy idea to put cameras at traffic lights, and in turn, someone is going to sell the state a program. Yet, the state is not excited, and that's, by the way, that whole thing is about safety, public safety, placing the traffic lights up. But you can have a person who has been diagnosed as psychotic, a threat to himself, a threat to the public, and you don't see the outrage, you don't see the aggressive pursuit of solutions by our legislators. We should have had by now a committee to investigate this situation, because it repeats itself probably once every 3 months or so, and there may be situations that we don't really know about. So what we need to do is really start asking our legislators and our leaders. It's fine with a red light and a camera. It's okay if you want to protect us from someone driving down the highway and texting and what have you. But it's shameful that an individual can walk in a store, buy a knife, as reported, and go back out and stab, and then you learn that this person should have been incarcerated or should have been under care or contained or what have you. So I don't know what the solution is, but I sure can tell you, and this is one of those occasions where I'll just complain. I don't have all of the solutions, but I think that we could start from the top down. Our health department, the head of that, should be called on the carpet, and the managers in that division or that agency should be called on the carpet and fired. How much can we tolerate? So anyway, that's just one of the things, and the last thing I'd like to say about that is, young men and the guys out there, if you think this is your solution as far as violence, you are not representing common sense. You're not operating. If it gets that bad, walk away when you feel you got to hurt someone. And if you know, go tackle the police. Pick up the phone and call them and tell them that you're angry today and you're mad as hell and you ain't taking it anymore and you want to hurt somebody. But don't take it out on the innocent family members or young ladies or innocent citizens. You know, if you want to be a, quote, man about it and you want to flash your tattoos like a lizard in the sun, then do that. But don't take it out on the innocent people and try to find another solution. So enough said. But anyway, what I want to talk about also is the... A while back, we did a show on Big Brother giving big business a big break. And that subject was specifically about the EPA and other federal agencies that were that had arrested and conducted a raid out in Waianae at the Hakimo Road area. And you may recall that... I had some concerns that here we were beating up on the little fellow, not that we shouldn't have prosecuted him, but the EPA wouldn't prosecute waste management at the landfill. They don't prosecute the city and county of Honolulu for the illegal dumps. It takes Sierra Club or Save Our Bays and Beaches or Friends of the Surf or whomever to initiate a legal action, and then we have the mayor kicking and screaming saying, "Don't make me do what's right." No prosecution there. And there are many others where big business get big breaks. But in this case, now, I had also reported that there was a dispute or a spat amongst the federal agencies that were involved, ATF, DEA, EPA, and others. And what had happened is that there were guns involved, and I understand, this is being told to me by officers that were involved in the raid, that the EPA did not want to relinquish the head role in the case because, or the investigation, because the DEA thought that there were guns and had documented guns involved, so they wanted to be the lead agency. The DEA felt that there were drugs, so what happened was, during the raid, I'm informed that the DEA and the ATF basically walked away from the scene and left EPA standing there. And a number of agents came from Guam, as I understand, and they brought them in from different areas. But here's the problem. Now, DLNR, the Department of Land and Natural Resources, some of their officers were involved. And that brings the real issue here. Even though DLNR is responsible for land, water, and natural resources and pollution and what have you in the state, and this was in state jurisdiction, the DLNR did not send anyone officially to the site. And this occurred about May 13, 2008. Now, I received an extensive email from one of the officers involved in that, one of the DLNR officers who were working that and had gone to assist the EPA. And what happened, he wrote this email, and it's to me. "Please be advised, dear Mr. Cox," or "Aloha, Mr. Cox, please be advised that there is a matter of serious concern that has developed since May 13, 2008. Due to incompetence and deliberate indifference, the State of Hawaii Department of Land and Natural Resources, under the direction of Chairperson Laura Thielen, DOCARE State Enforcement Chief Gary Moniz, State Deputy Enforcement Chief David Goud, and Oahu Branch Manager Guy Chang, have continued to mismanage the conservation enforcement of the State of Hawaii's land and natural resources." Now, He goes on to talk about, due to the incompetence and unqualified appointment and deliberate indifference, perpetrated by the aforementioned administrators, the DLNR administration failed to accept their responsibilities to provide assistance to the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. The incident culminating with the EPA raid on the Hakima Road property was planned several months in advance. The U.S. federal agency, EPA, coordinated with this operation with several enforcement agencies and, in fact, brought in several agents from Guam and the U.S. mainland to participate. Now, this person was taken and put on suspension. And another officer received 16 days suspension, one of the supervisors, and another received 5 days suspension for actually assisting the EPA in this particular raid. Now, I'm not going to read the entire document, but I'll talk about it. And if you have any questions or any comments, give us a call here at 524-1080. And I'm going to post this email in its entirety on the website at carol@carolcox.com. That's C-A-R-R-O-L-L at C-O-X. I'm sorry. It's going to be, the website is carolcox.com. C-A-R-R-O-L-L-C-O-X.com. But anyway, got Bob on the line. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Carol.
How are you?
I'm doing fine. You know, the DNLR, that's probably the most defunct organization this state has ever seen. And my feelings with them, you just mentioned one name that set a real spark plug in my mind, Guy Bundy. He's a head investigator, right, for DNLR. I don't know if it's the right pronunciation. Did you get that? M-O-N-I-Z, I think it is. Did I lose you? I lost you. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Did you hear the name that I mentioned?
You broke up a bit. Moni,
yeah.
Was it?
Moni, yeah. You just mentioned his name when you mentioned all the ties that were in the DNR. He's the head investigator. He's the chief of the investigation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, I had personal dealings with him, right? First with the lawyers, and I went through all their lawyers, and it got to him. And I turned up this information that I had on water theft of where I live in Waiholi Valley, $15,000. One person had been stealing for years, got in front of the meter, and, you know, took the water out before it was metered to his property. And they got back to me about a couple days later, and he called me an accusator and accuser and all this other stuff. And I said, sir, I have all the facts. You just have to make a prosecution. You have to go after this guy. And he said, well, just in that. So I went to the head of, at the time, with Peter Young. He said, well, I got to do what I got to do and all this stuff. I went to Peter Young. I got the facts that I sent him, and he did nothing. So there's been a cover-up in the DNLR. As far as I'm concerned, ever since I, when Peter Young got on there, when I had the dealings. Now this other lady, Phelan, she seems just the same to me. I gave her information about stuff over here. She knew nothing about in Waikani, where they were desecrating the land over there, and they did nothing. So to me, the DNLR is a defunct, you know, institution that does nothing for the people of Hawaii. They're just making paychecks over there for themselves. And they all cover each other's backside all the time.
Well, what I did learn...
Man, I'm all for it. Anything I can do to get them guys and expose them for their non-compliance with everything.
Well, you know, Bob, what I've learned now, this is unconfirmed, and I'm got my feelers out, and but I've been informed informally that Gary Moniz has offered his resignation, and it will be effective April 1. But again, as I say, I don't have an official document, but this is sources within the DLNR who told me this, and some of the concerns is that the repeated actions or inactions have taken. Take it with a grain of salt. This is what I heard. I don't want to be spreading gossip. But it would be, to me, the right thing to do. And also what I'm learning is that there is a degree of arrogance, and this officer speaks to that arrogance now on the part of the Ms. Thielen, Laura Thielen. And here's what I'm going to be pursuing. Now, I'm told, because when I speak to her, the people won't know the arrogance that she displayed. She does not listen. You can't approach her. She's unapproachable. Yes.
I agree fully with that one, man. But I talked to her personally on the telephone, and she says this and that. She didn't even know half of the stuff that I told her of her own department. She didn't know what her van, you know, responsibility were. So she was in the wrong place at the wrong time when Linda Lingo appointed her. I guarantee you that. But, you know, they just suffer because of her tendership over there. They both want to resign, as far as I'm concerned. Because they, especially that MZ guy, he is the worst. He put me out in the cold, and I gave him all the facts, and they could have prosecuted, they could have got the money, they could have stopped it, and it still went on and on.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have to fight with him about it. They just went out there to stop the guy, not alone prosecuting, they just let him keep stealing the water. So, you know, I'm glad that he's going to resign, and you know why? He's probably resigning because all this past is slowly catching up to him. He says, well, I better jump shit now before they really come down, and I wish you, you know, pursue that to the max, please.
Well, I think locally, I don't see any. I know there are native people here that has the ability or, you know, intelligent and educated that could run these departments. And I'm not saying just because they are Hawaiian, give them the role of leadership. But what we're seeing is that we get a Thielen in who her mom is also, quote, an activist or an environmentalist and a lawyer, and she's a representative. Here's what bothers me. If you look at the wave action program, the energy wave energy, if you go off Kaneohe Marine Base, there's one in place out there.
Now
that there's a big issue just with that, and that is it state waters or is it federal waters?
Okay.
And then how is it that this issue goes unresolved while in the old days during the wartime, the military reserved certain areas, but there's a dispute that this wave action buoy that's situated out there currently, or was, I don't know, they may have taken it down, but the mother is actively involved, and I have firsthand knowledge that she was using her weight, Cynthia Thielen, using her weight with the people there at the Marine base. And she has taken trips to deal with and wave action programs and what have you. And I've actually filed a Freedom of Information Act or UIPA request of her, and she refused to release any documents. But, you know, there was one issue about putting wave action machines, wave generating energy machines out there at Penguin Banks. And will her daughter tell her no? Who will tell her no? And Thielen, I'm trying to also, I was told that she has her, and I don't know, these are, maybe I'm offering this to find out, maybe someone out there can give the real facts about this, but that her husband or someone is in with the U.S. Attorney's Office. I don't know. I want to see why we're not getting prosecutions on these cases and why, when the EPA conducts a raid, Thielen has knowledge but will not provide any man hours. And the reason that this officer who wrote this letter, Bob, he indicated here that the reason, the explanation was that nobody was assigned, that the priority was the palace because the gentleman had gone in and locked himself in, or, you know, that recent incident at the palace.
Yeah, right.
So she put all of her resources there, yet there was a raid conducted out on Hakima Road, and they would not assign anybody there and went ahead to prosecute these officers for having gone on. One of them was on his day off, by the way. So, speaking to dedication, but all that could be done in that is that this officer was suspended or was put on the desk to operate the radio. Right? The other officer, as they say here, was given a 5-day suspension. So, how do you deal with this? I mean, that's do we...
It's done in that department. It's just... It's got to be broken up. It's got to be exposed. They're getting paid taxpayer money. They're not fulfilling their duties. And then they're hiding everything that they're doing, you know, that is like kind of, you know, shady. You know, mm-hmm. you go look for the answers, they even act more shady to hide themselves, you know?
Yeah, you know, I got a call just yesterday. Was it, I'm sorry, Friday. And the question was, had I heard that the Department of Health, the state agency, had determined that it would not be prosecuting the Navy for dumping the sewage because the Navy was exempt to state and federal environmental laws. They were an entity of their own. This is the kind of action. This is how the DLNR and the state under the legal management operates. You know, do you think they should be prosecuted, the Navy, or you think they should be exempt?
No, they should definitely be. I don't know about prosecuting, but they should be sued by having, or, you know, accidental, or maybe they're liable.
You want, you're in a bad area there, Bob. I'm losing you. Anyway, you can call me back. But anyway, now, don't want to be nitpicky, but if, in fact, we do understand and appreciate that Hawaii's resources are fragile, they're unique, they're irreplaceable, if this is all in the mantra of our legislators and our leaders and our environmental and conscious communities, if this is factual, then why do we give it such backhand treatment? We don't enforce the laws, we don't regulate, we don't hold our feet to the fire. Something's wrong here.
Yeah, it's tit for tat somewhere, and the general public is getting screwed, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You name it, you know? So, that's all I can say, you know, I just keep it up, you know, Mr. Cox. Keep on pounding, you know, you keep lifting up in the rugs, you're going to find enough evidence on these guys. Just to expose them to be part of it, you wouldn't have to just expose them of it. We'll eventually get the people up in arms where they, you know, don't elect them people again. And that's the main thing, yeah? And try to get somebody, like you said, get some more Hawaiians on some of these jobs and have a little more concern for the aina and the community in general. You know, these other people that just have all these connections, they can care less. You know, about the common guy like me, you, and like Shuri.
Right. Well, you know, I'm not advocating that you just place Hawaiians in the position because they're Hawaiian. What I'm implying is,
competent and, you know, have the credentials for the job. But when you look down the list of people that are running the state, there ain't too many Hawaiian last names, my friend.
Yeah.
That's what I have to say. There are very few and far in between. And if they are, I think they're brought off.
Well, yeah. And then, you know, I have advocated many years, take some of the people that are, they don't necessarily have to be native Hawaiians, but at least educate them and school them in the management and then being sincere about this. Now, there's a, I don't know, is it Lila Bird from Hawaii Kai Sai? I tried to, she's a state representative. I tried to, prior to this session, to engage with her a conversation and ask her to introduce resolutions. Even she shied away. You see, she wanted to know, could I muster up a number of environmental groups and then we could make a big splash. And the problem is, we're making too many splashes.
Right.
And you know,
solve one problem, then go to the next.
Right. And they're really not solving any problems. And it's I'm going to tell you, when we did a story recently, I think Channel 2 aired it, about lead on the beach. They're at Magic Island. You know, boat ran aground. Instead of removing that boat immediately in all parts of that boat, that keel is still out there, even after we did a story on it. Several hundred pounds of lead, right?
Yeah, it's unreal. You know, the thing is about boats, abandoned boats around here, I found that the state could care less about. They just go out and let them rot over there. Too much money to take it out. They don't care about the environmental seepage that's coming out of these, you know, boats. I'm telling you, it's all a backwards over here where people are always protect the iron of the ocean, and they're really not doing it. You know, mm-hmm. They're sinking it as far as I'm concerned.
Well, what they'll do is, and I think people should call into question the motive and the intent of the managers and the governor, and that is, you'll notice they'll have a beautiful poster, and it seems that DLNR purpose, the way they manage the resources here, the natural resources, they put out a nice poster, and that is the illusion. That is, it's almost magical the way it's represented. But when it comes to rolling up the sleeves and having people in place, as we've reported, you don't want to pay people on holidays, and that's a high use days. You want to raise a tax. You want to start having a license charge of the people. But you're not putting any of this resources back into the management of the resources.
We didn't get no services. You know, we were getting all lip service, and like you said, glossy posters and booklets and stuff like that. Oh, this, we're going to do that. But they never follow through, these guys. They tell you they don't have enough personnel. That's a bunch of BS.
Right. You go in to ask a question, for example, about fish. The recent catch for last year, or 2 years ago, and I've reported this before, you cannot get an accurate accounting of the number of fish that were caught last year or the year before. So why do we have all of these people in place collecting, and we're paying people to log in this information, yet at the end of the year, nothing is tabulated?
So statistics, and I went down a black hole, oh, we lost the paperwork, or the computer wiped it out. You know what I mean? These guys are another, but if they can't come up with the facts, like you said, them guys are taking that responsibility. Take them statistics, or they'll be fired if they can't come up with homework at the end of their, you know, at the end of the year. But if they can't come up with a figure, well, what you said here? Why are we paying them like probably $40,000, $50,000 a year to do what?
Right. Well, and we're buying a professional service in theory, but in reality, I call DLNR regarding the. The Port Royal. And, normally people are talkative. All of a sudden, well, we got to be careful, can't talk anything because it might jeopardize the case. Meantime, you got one state agency saying, we're not going to prosecute. So hold them off at the gate and keep them, keep them hunkered down and ignorant.
Yeah. Well, I was frustrated. Like, I was ran around by that DNR for over 6 months.
Uh-huh.
One guy to one guy, one lawyer to another guy. It's just a plain fact. I have information. I have factual information that you can prosecute this person and get him to, because the guy is rich, to get the money back to the state. You know what I mean?
Right.
He stole it from all of us,
Mm-hmm.
I'm on a closed water system, and like, I was paying for his bill in reality. You know what I mean?
Right.
Even from my system, and I'm paying my bill, and our system has to be paid back through revenues of water usage. That guy is taking my money out of my pocket, and more money I got to pay back to get our system, paid for in the long run. So if DNR, just keep hacking at them, man. I wish you, if you have any kind of demonstration, I'll be there, okay?
All righty. Well, thanks.
All right. Talk to you later, Carol.
Okay. Anyway, Bob, as usual, has some experience with this agency, and why is it that we do not hear, you take, for example, in the Honolulu Advertiser, the 13th of March, 2009, the title of the article was EPA Finishes Hazardous Waste Cleanup at Hakimo Road Property. But the undercurrent here is that we have the DLNR who should have said DLNR finishes hazardous waste cleanup. But instead, Big Brother had to come in and do the job. So imagine how much we could save if, in fact, and this speaks a lot about the inabilities or the inefficiencies, when a federal agency, and you please follow this, and you'll understand where my disgust comes from. A federal agency, the EPA, comes in and it has maybe two, at most three, special agents here in town to do this, and we have an army of DLNR officers and biologists and consultants who could have done this same job, and yet they were not even involved. The director didn't get them involved, and those that did get involved were suspended. One received a 16-day suspension. The other one received a 5-day suspension. One was put on administrative duty to run the radio. While we had people standing around the palace and not to demean or diminish the importance of the palace concerns, but if you had an army and we had no incident that would have justified, why couldn't the DLNR have sent to this site? And the article should have read, DLNR finishes hazardous waste cleanup. But we don't see that. So what is the common sense here? We have an army of people here. Taxpayers are footing the bill for them. We buy them trucks. We buy them guns. We train them. We pay them handsomely. And yet we have to have a federal agency to come in and invite other agents from other states and within the U.S. to come here and do a job that should have been done by the EPA, by the DLNR. And generally how it could work, EPA could be participating in this case and giving some leadership role in handling or meeting under the directions of the U.S. Attorney, the Assistant U.S. Attorney's Office or U.S. Attorney, and utilizing the resources of the existing agency here, the DLNR. But instead, we're paying DLNR and we're squandering money there, and then we're putting agents from other federal agencies and bringing them to town. Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds like bad money management. And if you believe that this is just someone whining and moaning about a government that's not working, keep in mind, the reason you like Hawaii, I'm told by many, it's a beautiful place. We have unique animals. We have unique resources. And we always hear, and this might be the final moment in that explaining all of this. When you pick up the paper and you see any subject of discussion about Hawaii, it says Hawaii has the largest number of endangered species represented anywhere in the world, basically. Hawaii's resources are fragile. Hawaii's resources took eons to develop, and they're unique. And yet, you have government agencies who regulate and manage and protect these things, treating it as if it was a dogfight. We don't show as if we're scared to get involved, as if we, for some reason, you know, the super ferry left for right now, and it might be back. But even in that is the perfect example. You know, the legislators told the super ferry to go and get basically an environmental impact statement, or let me correct that, a Section 7 incidental take permit. Now, first of all, the state has no jurisdiction in telling anybody anything because it's a federal law. And instead, the super ferry went to the federal government, and the federal government didn't require that. And yet the legislators just represented that in their writing and as a condition of operating the super ferry, never did get a Section 7 or consultation under the Endangered Species Act. So why do we have these people in place? Is it just to elevate themselves? Are we going to stand by come 4 or 5 years from now and when Ms. Legal emerges out to run for senator or governor, or not governor, you know, or Congress, what are we going to do? We're going to applaud her and say, you did such a great job that we want to reward you. Now, for those out there that's going to say, well, he's hard on Legal. No, I'm equally as hard on the state legislators, the ones that are called Democrats. Their problem is, you really don't know what they're up to. They have shown with the super ferry they are as corruptible and as corrupt as any one conservative that I've ever heard anybody claim that conservatives are selfish and corrupt and what have you. The super ferry issue, the DLNR issue, is within the jurisdiction of the state legislators. And as we've said, there are the checks and balances. If you want to see corruption, this is the perfect example. It's not all Lingle's fault. If Lingle sow the seed and the others pour water and nurture it and fertilize it, then guess who's guilty? Is it just Lingle? Is it Calvin Say, whose son was working for the Super Ferry. Whose problem is it? And I tend to think that it's our problem. And we have lost control. And you may have heard me say this. We are just too smart now for our own good. We don't take our leaders to task. We're going to have a train here that's thrust upon us, and we're going to have that. We are going to have to pay for it. We have the super ferry, and the people say, well, it's going to hurt our economy. And I basically like to ask, and someone said, well, it was going to haul fruits and get things to the mainland. And I asked, well, where did you hear that? Well, I read it somewhere. Well, if we're going to haul fruits to the mainland, where's the radiation, the treatment? Is that in place to kill the bug that's on the fruit? I thought there was some kind of, not embargo, but some kind of hoop or obstacle you have to get over to ship out fruits and whatever that you raise here in Hawaii due to the fruit fly. So it was going to do a lot of things. But again, we the legislators, the same people that has ability and capacity to go to Laura Thielen and summons her in a committee hearing and conduct an investigation to the how badly broken the DLNR is. And if you understand, the DLNR is one who is in receipt of, for example, the whale report. When the whale is impacted by the super ferry, or there's an interaction, or it comes close, the DLNR receives those reports. But what happens to those reports? It's a self-policed situation. And again, when our legislators, and I don't want anybody going away or calling me and telling me I'm against legal. I'm against anybody that's taking our interests and squandering. That's Democrat, Republican, Green Party, whomever. It makes no sense now. We have gotten so far down the road, it's going to be difficult to recover from. And we the public, need to start demanding that when an individual is appointed to the land and natural resources, that we find out and make sure that they are not in conflict. When we appoint someone as chairman or chairwoman or chairperson, we make sure that they're not in conflict and beholding to anyone. And the governor should have a different standard. Our legislators should have a different standard. Now, a lot of the officers with DLNR have indicated they've tried to approach the legislators, but the legislators won't touch it. And this is just to get the legislators to fix the problem. But nothing happens. So we are probably, the way we so loosely enforce the laws here and regulate, and the emphasis we place on the protection of our natural resources is shameful. And there's absolutely no rhyme or reason why it should be this way. We could get many of people that has a capacity or the ability to manage. And for some reason, if you look at the list of people who run the DLNR, we had Mr. Mike Wilson, who was a, quote, he's a judge now, declared environmentalist. So that qualified him to be the head of the Land and Natural Resources. Gilbert Agaron, that qualified him to be the leader. Yet, you don't have any background on these people or any experience as to what they've done for the environment, full understanding of historical preservation, parks and recreation, boating, fisheries, natural resource, managing ecosystems, or any of that. And yet, when they get in, they then pick their cronies and or adopt an arrogant attitude that you can't approach them because they have power, they have clout. In the meantime, we see a decline in our fish population. We see decline in habitat. We see conservation land and preservation land being traded off for graveyards and cemeteries and what have you. And this encroachment that's occurring So if you're just putting in a person who really just want to go along to get along for their selfish reason, we won't have any. We will have absolutely nothing left. Nothing. And as you know, the alien species, for example, it's touted as being an aggressive effort, but find a need to call the state about a snake or about anything and see the difficulty in getting a response or reply. You'd be astounded. You'd be shocked to learn that you're better off calling, and you'll get better results by calling Barney Fife at the Mayberry, the town of Mayberry, to get a sensible, a responsible, and a timely response. We are behind the eight ball, and that speaks to the quality of our life, too, here. So we need to really consider a lot of these things. I'm going to take a break, and we'll be right back. This is the Carol Cox Show.
Jefferson, the book Red Tail Captured, Red Tail Free, Memoirs of a Tuskegee Airman, Prisoner of War in Germany for 9 months, $32. Contact me, 18126 Brinker Street, Detroit, Michigan, 48234, or call me, 313-368-0674. Thank you.
This is Bill Holloman with the Tuskegee Airmen Scholarship Fund. We send young people, deserving young people, to college. Please contact me, 206-963-5663 or 253-852-7237 at the address 9240 South 240th Place, Kent, Washington, 98030. Your donations are appreciated, helping send young kids to school. Thank you.
You don't want to listen when I'm talking to you. You think you ought to do, baby, anything you want to do. Gotta be crazy, baby. You gotta be out of your mind. As long as I'm paying the bill, I'm paying the cost. I need a bar. I'll drink if I want to. Play a little poker, too. I don't want you saying nothing as long as I'm taking care of you. As long as I'm working, baby. As long as I'm paying the bill, I don't want no mouth with you. By the way, I'm supposed to live. Gotta be crazy, baby. Not gonna be out of your mind. Long as I'm paying the bill, I'm paying the cost. Be the boss. Like my baby, you're just using my name. But I tell you, I'm going to hell the money. I don't want no back talk. You don't like what I'm doing. Pick up your thing and walk. Gotta be crazy, baby. Step to the beat out of your mind. Long as I'm paying the bill, I've been the cost to be the boy.
And more B.B. King here on Gay 108 on the Carol Cox Show. We're down to the final 5 minutes of the show, and here's Carol.
Yeah, I played that because that's the old thinking. You pay the cost to be the boss, right? And the guy, the lyrics, I don't live by lyrics, but I played that to digress a bit to share with the young men out there who want to beat up, cut up, shoot up. Whatever. You're no boss. There's no such thing as a boss. If you're the boss of your family, then your boss needs to fire you or incarcerate you or something. But that I play that. That's the old way of thinking, guys. And we, you, me, and everybody else need to adopt a new stance, new attitude about this violence. So, I mean, I know I talked about it earlier, but I wanted to just play that and just to show that some of the mindset and how maybe some of us, through our music and through our thinking over the years, we've been trained that who's the boss. And if you're beating up on people, that's not the boss, that's the bully. And that is the violence. And if I don't know how else to tell it to you, but I'm dumbfounded that a young man would do that, whatever the reason. So, fellas, again, I've said it earlier, walk away, go get help, because if you think pulling the trigger or stabbing is your solution, then what you've done, you've now not just impacted that young lady, you've impacted her family, your family, and then you bring shock to us all, to our senses. We are a people of sensible behavior and civil-minded, and so stay away from the violence. Go get help, and that's another point that our legislators really should be calling forums and being and abandon this red light camera nonsense and do something that's productive. But anyway, what is really good about this, I believe that we're going to work through it, but it's just so painful to wake up, you know, to read and you see it flashed on the TV that something happened. And I had someone ask, well, why didn't the police grab him? Well, I think the police probably right now is busy doing so much because of these are troubling times financially. We have drug issues, and you can't have a perfect world. And so what we need to do, rather than being reactive and talk about arresting, we need to set aside some budget or reexamine how we're teaching our children in school, what we're exposing them to. We, the state, needs to maybe take some of these projects and, for example, the $40 million or the $50 million that was spent on the super ferry and accommodating it, and the $75 million tax break paid to allow for Coalina and places like that. What they should do is put more money into the medical care, into the monitoring and the treatment of victims or the people that have been tested or examined and determined to be psychotic or whatever. Improve on our mental system. Give more money to that, opposed to bringing in a friend and with a big boat and say, get it to float, we'll pay you more. I think we need to really, and a lot of you need to ask our legislators. It's going to come from you anyway, the money is, and so you might want to step up to the plate and start asking. Asking the legislators why, and if you'd like to do me a favor, contact your local legislators and ask them, could you please do something immediately to, one, to address, have educational programs to address or hotlines for domestic violence where they can call in and get some immediate counseling, open it up. We did away with the poison line, so let's do something by having access to for people that have a tendency of violence. Call your legislators and tell them, you want to see the DLNR, for example. Be more accountable. That's where it starts. When your representative shake your hand and kiss your baby the next time, tell them you are wanting more. Anyway, this is the Carol Cox Show, and thank you for joining me. Aloha.
Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.